Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Today we're going to look at a type of real estate that pays you to own it, but not with the tenants you're thinking. It's agricultural real estate. Today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Stop for a moment. Why are you listening to this show? Are you dreaming of a bigger, brighter financial future? More personal freedom to live life on your own terms? What if there was just one skill that could make it happen? There is. Sales. Robert Kiyosaki says every entrepreneur must be good at sales. It's true for investors too. Sales is how you attract money, people, and opportunities. Sales is the skill used to negotiate deals and lead your team. Sales skills are essential to success. The good news is, it's a learnable skill. The great news is, we've created a two-day interactive workshop to teach those skills to you. Make plans today to attend How to Win Funds and Influence People, Mastering the Art of Financial Selling. For dates and details, send an email to sales@realestateguysradio.com or visit realestateguysradio.com and look under events. Gain the skills you need to succeed. Email sales@realestateguysradio.com or look under the events tab at realestateguysradio.com.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Believe it or not, I'm your host, Robert Helms. My voice is kind of gone because you're in Phoenix, Arizona, just after our Secrets of Successful syndication. Joining me, as usual, co-host financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
Oh, my gosh, what an amazing weekend.
It was fabulous. It's amazing. You know, we've been doing this event. Gosh, it's been probably 4 or 5 years now. And the caliber of people that come out to this event is just amazing. Every time we kind of poll the audience, how many of you are active investors, already own real estate besides your own home? The vast majority, almost every single person in the room, raises their hand. So these are people who have already figured out how to make money with real estate, and now they want to share that with other people. And if they can go out and share with other people how to put their money to work in an era of low yields, that can be a great value add in the community. You know, we always talk in real estate about adding value. You can add value to a property, but you can really add value to another person when you can help them put their money to work with something you know how to do.
Absolutely. So big hello to all our new friends. We have met a lot of listeners this weekend who had been listening to the show for 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years, including a couple of radio, not podcast listeners. So great to meet everybody, and just an incredible event. And obviously, with my voice practically gone over 2 days, we're having a good time. Good stuff. And one of the things that happens at these events is we get to meet a lot of old friends, see people who come to events and so forth. And we do a thing during the syndication event where we highlight some folks who have inventory to syndicate, where you might say, if I'm going to raise money, what am I going to buy? Is it going to be a single family house or a bunch of single family houses or apartments or what?
Well, I think one of the things that people get hung up on when they get into the business is they want to do more of what they've always been doing. And so they think, okay, I want to go do more of what I've always been doing, and I need more money to do that. But the problem is, what you haven't been doing is raising money. And that's what you need to learn how to do. And then the other thing is, if you may be in a particular area or product class where the opportunity is a little bit tapped out, you may have to make a shift. And so you don't have to be married to where you've been from a product class perspective. You could make a shift if you wanted to. And here's my point. When you go about raising the money, the idea is that if you are raising the money and then you can find someone else, not you, who has already figured out how to make money in a particular market or a particular product type, you can take that money and invest in them rather than in something you're doing yourself. So in other words, you're consolidating or focusing your attention on one aspect of the food chain, which is the fundraising, and not diffusing your effort by also being focused on running the project. Now, a lot of people have the ability, the talent, the bandwidth, the team to do that, which is great if you do, but don't feel like you have to be the whole product and service soup to nuts. If you decide to be a syndicator, then you're going to be looking for someone who is a turnkey provider where you can say, hey, I'm going to raise the money and put it into your deal. Your deal is to make the money. When I do the tee up at the beginning of the seminar, and we're talking about what is syndication and what role are you going to play, I point out Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett picks companies. He doesn't run companies. He picks companies. He raises the money and then he invests it in companies that are run by other people. And that's really one way to approach syndication. And that's why we have these turnkey providers come out to show people what some of the options are.
And, you know, sitting here at the Phoenix airport, it's pretty obvious that people are coming and going all the time. It's a big world. Everyone's connected. One of the gentlemen that spoke at the event, David Sewell, is from Panama. Well, we don't see David as much as we might see other folks because he lives in Panama and he travels around. We travel around. But we had a chance to sit down with David because he has a really interesting model. Maybe you've heard about what he does before on the show, but it's an interesting approach to investing in real estate.
Well, and it's interesting for a lot of reasons. You know, we call it the pizza theory, right? The idea that you go buy a big pizza and then you cut it up into pieces and you can sell the pieces for more. Why? Because you've added some value. What's the value? The value is I'm not going to eat a whole pizza. I don't want to buy a whole pizza. Maybe I can't afford a whole pizza, but I sure would like a slice of pizza. Okay, well, the guy that actually went and bought the whole pizza and sliced it up and made it available to you added some value. So there's a little bit of a markup in there. That's okay. The other part of it is that when you look at buying, say, an apartment building, Ken McElroy goes out and he buys these underperforming, mismanaged apartment buildings. And he says, now I've got the basic bones, the structure of a real estate opportunity, but it's got a managerial or operational problem I'm going to fix. And when I fix that problem, I take it from no or low income to more income, and an income producing property, the value is the income. The more income, the more value. So when you improve operations, you improve income, you increase value, you create equity.
Well, and that's exactly what Kenny shared at the syndication seminar. We weren't sure Ken was going to make it, so we didn't promote Ken, but Kenny showed up and he was great. He spoke at the VIP lunch, answered a bunch of questions, and came up and looked at a case study, and it was a value-add case study, a Class B apartment building where they were able to acquire an asset at a really good price because it was not being run very well. The occupancy wasn't high, wasn't the right tenant mix. You know, probably lazy landlord syndrome could be a dozen reasons why that happened, but that's what they specialize in. And it's a property they bought back in 2009. A lot of folks in the apartment space were shying away from buying units in 2009. And everybody had stopped, and Kenny and Ross were buying like crazy. They bought $300 million of property in about 2.5 years when the rest of the world was sitting on their hands. Now, fast forward today in multifamily, for an example, and there might be 20, 30 bids on a good multifamily property of that size. But the idea is you go in and you apply your technology, your intellectual property. What's Ken great at? His door into syndication was property management. He's got a great grasp on what it takes to manage a property so that a tenant's expectations are exceeded, so they'll stand in line to pay, so they'll pay on time, and so the property increases in value. That's pretty easy to understand. If you're a single family investor, you know that if you put a little money into the property, you might get a little more rent. Pretty simple idea. Well, what we're going to talk about today is real estate that produces income and real estate that you can improve the performance of so it generates more income and is worth more. It's just not residential or even commercial real estate. It's agricultural real estate.
Yeah, and this is a huge opportunity also. If you think about what's going on in the world, and if you have any concerns at all about what is happening in the economy and the paper asset markets, bonds, stocks, mutual funds, maybe what's going on with pension funds and the low interest rate environment and the pressure on insurance companies and annuities, there's a lot of investors out there right now very concerned about their investments, their ability to create yield, to protect their principal, and have some security. Right? So you look at agriculture as something that's fundamental. Residential has attracted a lot. Apartment buildings have been one of the most popular forms of real estate over the last several years. There's a reason for that. When times are uncertain, investors look for quality. They look for fundamentals. They look for essential things. Well, what's more essential than food? I mean, even if you're homeless, you're going to eat. So there is always going to be a demand for food. And the other thing that I love about agriculture is if you go back in time, it's really the very first form of real estate that had value. The value was owning the farmland. If you thought, hey, the world is going to go to hell in a handbasket and there's just not going to be very, you know, organized society or whatever, there's still going to be a need for farmland. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm saying you can see why if you're in a defensive posture, it would make sense. Here's the other thing is, when you go buy residential property, you need to get the local market right. You have to understand who your tenant is, where they work, who their employers, customers are, and where that income comes from. We talk about tertiary, secondary, primary drivers, and you kind of got to get all that right when you study a geographic market for residential real estate because it's based on the local economy.
Exactly.
But if you think about agriculture, it produces a commodity that can be grown in one place and sold someplace else. So it doesn't matter where the demand is, where the prosperity is. It just matters that you have the ability to produce a product that somewhere in the world would be in demand as long as there's enough shipping infrastructure to get it from point A to point B. And that's really the beauty. So you say, okay, I get it. I get to own real estate. I get to produce income off of real estate by growing a commodity, and I don't have to get the market right. I got to get the commodity right. And then I just have to have the ability to move it from point A to point B. So it's a little bit different than bread and butter real estate, but the fundamentals are exactly the same. And in a lot of ways, you could make the argument it's safer.
Well, and commodity is an interesting word because the product that we're going to talk about today is definitely a commodity, but not only a commodity. Imagine the kinds of food that are grown. There are some things like corn and potatoes and wheat that have been around forever and are likely to be around forever. And those are generally commodity type crops. Then imagine this. Yesterday we had quinoa and kale salads. How much quinoa and kale do you and I probably consume these days?
More than most.
A good amount, yeah. Right? We eat that kind of stuff. 5 years ago, how much quinoa and kale did we eat?
None. I didn't know what either one was.
That's my point. No one knew kale or quinoa. So if I set up a farm that was going to be a quinoa or kale farm, that might be a flash in the pan thing. That might be the kind of thing that someone's going to, you know, go in and out of style. Where something like potatoes likely to remain in the diet. The crop that David has chosen strategically is coffee. Now, coffee, you could say it's a food, it's a consumable, it's a beverage, but coffee is more than that. Coffee has been a staple part of lots of people's day for a long time.
Coffee is a drug.
It's a legalized drug.
Addictive.
It is.
I know. I'm walking evidence of that.
In fact, we're about to take a coffee break.
I'm jittery evidence of that.
Yes, you are. So anyway, very interesting. How could you be involved in coffee production and a coffee farm as a real estate investor? Well, keep your mind and your ears open. When we come back, you'll meet David Sewell today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you achieving everything you want in life? What if there was a time-tested way for you to get everything you've dreamed of? The most successful people in life set goals and keep themselves accountable. But how? The good news is that it's not rocket science. You too can learn the skills and unleash the motivation that will create success in your life. And now is the time. Hi, this is Robert Helms, and I'd like to personally invite you to attend Create Your Future, the 2017 Goals Retreat, January 6th through 8th in beautiful San Diego, California. This unique weekend has been called phenomenal, inspirational, and life-changing by the hundreds of people that have attended. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com and click events or call 888-489-7723, extension 18. Get your life back on track physically, spiritually, and financially. Attend the 2017 Goals Retreat on the first weekend of the new year. Click events at realestateguysradio.com to register. This is no dress rehearsal. Live the life you were meant to. Visit realestateguysradio.com or call 888-489-7723, extension 18, today.
Hi, this is Mark Skousen, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. No matter how you do that, we're happy to have you here, especially because today's topic is a growth industry in a lot of ways. And literally, we're talking about agriculture. How do you profit from land other than having tenants on it? Well, you can grow stuff that pays you. Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys, our great guest and good friend, Mr. David Sewell. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you very much for having me here.
Always good having you in the same place as we are, which isn't too often because you travel the globe. In fact, you live in Panama.
I certainly do. I've been there for 10 years.
Yeah, and you've been in other countries as well.
Mexico, Costa Rica, Argentina, Canada, the U.S.
So I know that you've done a lot in terms of investing and in real estate and so forth. How'd you get interested in this segment of the real estate industry?
We're interested in coffee, specifically. And it's pretty obvious this day and age with the lineups around the store, around the block from Starbucks stores, why people are interested in coffee. And specialty coffee is particularly our industry of our focus. That is a booming industry, a growth industry inside a large commodity business where there's always a market. There's never any doubt about the product. It's coffee. Specialty coffee is a 16% share of that $90 billion, with a B, billion-dollar business, and that market share is growing at 20% a year.
And when you talk about specialty coffee, the stuff you buy in the can that's already ground for you, that's just kind of generic coffee. But when you go to the nicer places and you buy the hand-picked beans and all that stuff, it's roasted differently. That's the specialty coffee. People pay a premium for it.
That's exactly right. Specialty coffee is a commercial coffee farm that has turned into a specialty coffee farm. Coffee is grown as a cherry on a tree, and it can be produced into a green bean that is then sold to a roaster who will add a profile to that roast for his clients and for the various people out there. That product is not only grown, but it is processed. You need to be able to take the red cherry, turn it into a green coffee bean by processing it in a variety of different ways, right from picking the cherry individually, hand by hand, one by one, into a bucket and dumping that bucket into a processing mill and having that processing mill be completely traceable back to the origin of the bean, then that single origin, direct trade, traceable coffee is the stuff you pay $15, $20, $25, $30, $50 a pound for.
So the actual coffee bean or cherry isn't that different. It's more to do with how it's picked, how it's harvested, and how it's roasted and profiled.
Exactly. The process is the key. God provides the cherry, and the cherry turns red on its own. What you do with it from there, the specialty coffee farming business is managed tree by tree. So we have 150,000 trees right now. We manage every one of those trees, George, John, Charlie, and Herbert, and we know them. And those trees are managed individually. When they cherry out, those cherries are picked individually, not swiped down a branch. They're picked one by one by a coffee farming harvester that is a native Indian, Panamanian Indian, has been doing it all their lives. They need to be retrained in how to do it specialty coffee-wise. They will pass through the farm tens of times during a harvest to pick the cherries as they become red, and only the ones that are perfectly ripe.
Now, what about the land part of it? Because the agriculture has grown different places, the regions that you've selected, is it because there's just legacy and history of coffee farming there? Or is it because of the physicality of the land and the environment, all of that?
All of the above. The physicality of the land, the environment, the altitude, the weather, the wind, the rain, the soil, all of that is critical to growing coffee. Low elevation coffees can be grown in large quantities in Indonesia and Vietnam and all over the world, but they're the coffees that you find in the Folgers can. The high-altitude coffees where the Arabica bean is grown is a specific location. And we chose Boquete, Panama, as a very well-proven traditional source of very high-quality coffee. So people come to Boquete, Panama, to buy coffee. We have the luxury of not being able to have to go around the world to sell our coffee to them. They come to us to buy it and bid on our coffee.
Now, a lot's happened since we last had you on the show. In fact, when we first met, you were just really floating this idea, getting into the premise of how could we take a coffee farm that isn't producing at what it could be, make it more efficient, turn it from commodity coffee to specialty coffee, and then in that create an opportunity for individual investors. Now, of course, you've done this a bit. Talk about your history in coffee farming.
So what we do is we buy underperforming commercial coffee farms, and we turn those around into specialty coffee farms over about a three-year period. That takes the art of coffee science, it takes a secret sauce, and it takes capital.
Yeah.
So we add all those inputs to our rehab, in real estate terms, of the coffee farm, turning it into a well-managed, well-running specialty coffee farm. When we do that, when we acquire the farm, we subdivide it into half-acre parcels, and we make those parcels available to individual people who would like to be an owner of an offshore hard asset, real estate deeded property in a producing coffee farm in Panama.
So if I come in and I take an acre, I don't have to manage it. I don't have to go pick the beans. I don't have to learn that much about coffee. What I'm doing is I am putting my land in and relying on your company's expertise to do the harvest and sell the beans and do all that kind of stuff. And meanwhile, you're focusing on that side of the business and not having to own the individual real estate parcels.
Correct. So that's the source of financing to keep us growing. We've acquired 6 farms in the last 16 months or so. We're acquiring our 7th farm as we speak. The managing brokers are of our real estate office are making an offer this weekend for our 7th farm. The 8th farm is lined up. The 9th farm is lined up. So we have a lot of farms that we can put into the process. For you, it's a turnkey management, passive income, ownership of a deeded property.
Well, let's talk about that side of it, because people are attracted to different types of yield in real estate. If you're a real estate investor and you own apartments, then your income stream is based on putting people in there that can pay the rent and hopefully don't destroy the place. In this case, your tenant is a coffee cherry, and it's going to produce over time, and it's just a matter of figuring out the economic base for that. So how does that tenant remunerate the owner?
The good news is our tenants don't move out in the middle of the night.
Right.
Take your furniture with them. So it's a God-given process that the trees know what to do. Their process is to grow cherries to perpetuate their life. They grow these beans so that they can drop them on the ground and create more of themselves. So our job is to help them do that, simply by taking over a undermanaged, undercapitalized farm generally owned by an older farmer whose kids have now moved on and they're in South Beach, Miami, and they're not interested in digging in the ground anymore. So we acquire the farms from them, we add the capital to them, and we individually manage these trees to help them become better at what they naturally do. So it's coffee. It happens. There's always a market. There's always a cherry. We don't have any natural disasters in Panama. We don't have earthquakes. We don't have hurricanes. Never had one, never will, I assume. It's a great place to do coffee.
And so for an individual investor, this could be an opportunity to own something passive offshore. So there's that angle of it. It's a real asset. It's a hard asset. It's real estate. And at the same time, you're participating in, I'm assuming, the income from the sale of the coffee beans. So how does that part work? What's the life cycle of a cherry? How long does it take to make some return?
We pool the revenue and we pool the expenses in each farm. So the farm that you have your parcel or parcels in is pooled in that farm. So there's no location risk for you. Where you own your half-acre parcel in the coffee farm is almost irrelevant.
Well, that's important because it's going to allow your farmers to do what's right for the entire farm and not have to worry about if this person's, you know, half acre is feeling the love. So the pooling part is all the income, less all the expenses is just divided by the number of half acres?
More or less. First things first is our belief in a socially sustainable project.
Yeah.
And so social sustainability is not just lip service for us. When you pool the revenues and pool the expenses, we come up with a gross operating profit after the direct costs. We take right from that point a 20% slice of that money and we put it in a pool that is inviolate. That pool is there for the coffee farm workers, all the way from our general manager, who's a qualified engineer and knows what he's doing, to the youngest 17 or 18-year-old farmhand who, when he gets his bonus check the first year working for International Coffee Farms, he doesn't even know what a bonus is.
Right.
So he's going to get that no matter what. We use that money to improve the lives of the coffee farm workers. It's important to us to improve their working conditions, make their life easier working on the farm. It's not all altruistic, understand that. We do it for efficiency. People are dressed better. The rain is taken care of in proper clothing. They are more comfortable. They work harder. They work better. They're more efficient. And it's easier on them. They're not soaking wet and freezing cold all day long. So we do that. We change their living accommodations. We take away the latrine and the smoke-filled kitchen and put gas kitchens in, put in running water, flush toilets, showers. The works. So they, when they're in International Coffee Farms employ, they're fully into the 21st century. They have mattresses to sleep on. I mean, things that are, we take for granted, come out of that 20%, and that 20% is a cut right off the top, and it's there for the coffee farm workers. We have a silly little saying in our emails and our publicity that says, happy farmers equals happy coffee.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's part of the underperforming part. If their working conditions aren't great, if they don't feel great about what they're doing, they're just schlepping along, you know, looking for cherries, that's different. All of a sudden you come in and you give them a different dynamic, a different opportunity. They get a little more enthusiastic and it makes sense. Enlightened self-interest, right? It's the right thing to do, but it also makes them more productive.
Absolutely. And we pay them better. They get a 10% to 15% hike in their daily pay. Which hasn't made us a big fan of the other farmers in the area, but
right.
That's just the way it is. We pay them more to pick the cherry because we insist on it being picked perfectly. So they're going to pick lower volumes, so we pay them more per can of cherries that they produce. So they have some vested interest in the deal. They have some vested interest in doing the job right. We're helping them do it right, and it works for everybody. It's a win-win team situation.
We're talking about coffee farming in Panama, a way to consider agricultural real estate investing. We'll have more with David Sewell when we come back, and we'll play real estate trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe of Paradigm Life. Wall Street and banks spend billions of dollars per year in advertising with the goal to convince you that they are the solution. But take a look around. None of their advice has worked. The number one concern of all Americans is still money. So are you ready for another way? I've spent the last 10 years teaching people like you a superior way to build wealth and financial independence outside of Wall Street. I've developed a free e-learning program called Infinite 101, where you can learn about the perpetual wealth strategy. In this free program, you'll learn how to build your wealth without a 401k, IRA, or mutual funds. You'll also learn how to establish private financing without ever having to walk into a bank again. These are just two of the many ways this free program can propel you toward financial independence. Simply go to paradigmlife.net and click on the register button on the top right corner of the page to gain instant access.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms, and if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits, the beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforests, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world. Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hello, this is Robert Kiyosaki. I'm the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And if you're serious about learning how to invest in real estate, listen to the Real Estate Guys. They really know what they're talking about.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. We're talking about a different type of real estate today where your tenants are trees. Yeah, agricultural real estate, specifically coffee. Before we get back to our interview with David Sewell, it's time to play real estate trivia. Your chance to win a prize by knowing today's real estate trivia question. In just a minute, I'm going to give you a trivia question that has something to do with real estate, in fact, with coffee and real estate. And as soon as you think you know the answer, send us your best guess to trivia at realestateguysradio.com. Trivia at realestateguysradio.com. The first person with the right answer is going to win a copy of Robert Kiyosaki's latest book called Second Chance. That can be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Before we give you this week's question, last week on the Real Estate Guys, we were talking about flipping real estate, and we asked this: which state has the largest capital city by population in the U.S.? The answer, the state of Arizona. The capital of Phoenix is the largest capital city by population, followed by Indianapolis, Indiana. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. David's coffee farms are primarily in the country of Panama, which is the number three country in coffee production worldwide. Which country's number one? Yep, which country grows the most coffee? If you think you know or want to take a guess, send your best guess to us to trivia at realestateguysradio.com. trivia at realestateguysradio.com. The first person with the right answer gets a copy of Second Chance by Robert Kiyosaki. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're talking with David Sewell from International Coffee Farms. Fascinating business to take an underperforming coffee farm, get more yield out of it. Not only that, do it in such a way that the very product you're selling becomes a premium product, specialty coffee, and an opportunity for investor to really get involved passively. You're not coming down to the farm picking cherries and so forth, but I know you guys bring people down, invite folks to come take a look, and you can certainly come down and visit your farm if you'd like to.
Absolutely. You can come down and visit before you invest. You can come down and visit after. You can come down anytime you want. We'll give you a private tour anytime you're in Panama. You let us know a couple days ahead of time, and you want to come to Boquete to enjoy the tourism opportunity up there, zip lining and whitewater rafting and all the other things that go along with mountain living in a spring-like atmosphere in the tropics. We'll take you on a full-day tour of the farms and show you around. We have group tours that come up every 3 or 4 months, holding the next one November 18, 19, 20, I think, that weekend. And we'll host you for the weekend. We'll have a cocktail party and get to know each other. We'll tour 4 or 5 farms during the day on Saturday. We'll put you into our brand new state-of-the-art coffee processing mill we just built and are completing it at this moment so that we can keep hands-on traceability of this coffee, which is an important criterion in specialty coffee. Next morning, we'll put you in our brand new coffee laboratory. And in our lab, we'll teach you how the professionals cup and grade coffee so that they can determine if it's specialty coffee or not and at what level it is. And the higher the level it is, the more significant the price increases become as you are generating high-quality specialty coffee. So it's a fun weekend of learning a lot about coffee, and you'll come away knowing probably more than 95% of the population about what's going on in coffee.
Right. Now, this is an evolution for you guys, because early on when you were looking at this model, you were outsourcing a lot of this stuff, and now you're bringing it in-house. Obviously, some efficiencies with having more than one farm. What do you think the market is like there? Are there still a lot of these underperforming farms that are available? Is it starting to get scarce? What does it look like for you to expand?
We can expand. There's lots of farms available. We're at the size we are now, going into our 7th and 8th farms. There's probably 4 or 5 farmers that are larger than us, but there's probably a few hundred that are smaller than us now. And we can acquire those farms as they come available. We have a very strict set of requirements. The criteria goes to the brokers, and the brokers bring the deals to us that are only pre-negotiated. When they've done the negotiations and bring the deal to us, then we can act very quickly because we're always oversold. We always have parcels sold where we're waiting for farms to put people into. So we have an enrollment process whereby people sign their purchase agreement and fund the account, and they're waiting to be allocated into a farm. So the demand for the parcels exceeds the supply. We're always chasing farms to purchase.
Well, this is important, though, because it was the other way around. The last thing you want to do is get into escrow on any kind of real estate deal and not have the money to do it. It can be frustrating as an investor to not be able to get in now, but getting in line and being ready lets you have the surety to know you can go out and get the right farm.
Correct. And as those farms are presented to us, we can move fairly quickly on those farms. We don't always necessarily negotiate the terms to be quick, but we're in the driver's seat. So there's a lot more farms available. As the current Panamanian farmers get older and older and want to get off their farms and they have no families to leave them to, the issue is that we're pretty obviously in the business now, so the price is going up. We're victims of our own success for some bit.
Yep.
Because there was a very small community. Everybody's a coffee farmer. Everybody knows everybody for a million years. And Now all of a sudden there's this dude in town that's buying farms, and he bought 6 or 7 or 8 of them. When we bought the first one, everybody just shrugged it off. We bought the second one. Well, it wasn't that big a deal. Now the rumor mill is that it's a fairly big deal. People want us to buy their farm. They think they can get a better price out of us than others. They can't, but they think that. So the pricing of the farm acquisition is a difficult job to manage, but that's still very doable.
Now, David, back to your analogy of the rehab. You're buying a property that is underperforming, so it needs some work, and the work you've talked about, which is to make sure that you're teaching them how to pick the cherries properly, that you're going through this process of improving the yield. Let's talk about the time frame for that, because my gut would be that, well, then in the early year or 2 years, we're not going to see the return as much as in the later years. What's that process look like? How long does it take to get a farm stabilized?
You can probably guesstimate 3 years for most farms, depending on the farm we buy and what percentage of it is sown in coffee and what kind of coffee and what varietals of coffee and how old the trees are or how young the trees are depends on the amount of rehab. So every rehab is different by every farm, but more or less the same concept. So it takes about 3 years for us to put the turnaround in place. So the cash flow is a trickle in year one and a little bit of a stream in year two, and it doesn't turn into a creek until like year three. But year four and year five and year six and year seven, you're starting to see double digit cash on cash returns. And in year 10 and on, you're seeing 22, 24, 25% a year in cash on cash returns. So the numbers are very good. If you take an internal rate of return or an average annual yield and do it over a 20-year time period with a discount rate that reflects the risk, which is around 10% standardly,
yep.
You have an IRR of about 12%. So the number works out quite nicely. It's a legacy investment for people. You should come into this with a long-term horizon, not interested in farm flipping because you're just not going to make any money doing it.
Right.
It takes time. But it's a legacy investment you can leave to your kids because a cash flowing double digit 20 points plus cash on cash return is pretty hard to find a reinvestment vehicle to beat that. So just own it forever and leave it to your family.
Now, what's the cost to get involved? Where does it start in terms of how much money someone has to come up with to get into a half acre? And then who's your target investor?
To get into a half acre parcel in a producing farm is $18,000 US.
Wow.
So it's a low entry point.
Yeah.
And it's done on purpose. We want people to understand that there are other alternatives in investing. Offshore is one of them. It can be scary if you've never done it or you haven't invested out of your own county or your own state. It's something different. So it's a low entry point to do that. Our target market is anywhere from a millennial. As being an old guy long in the tooth in the venture capital business surprised me. How much money they have, how smart they are, how driven they are. And I never, ever targeted people like that before.
Yeah.
They are excellent investors. And so we have a number of millennial investors involved all the way up to the traditional person that I'm used to, the 65, 75-year-old man who has been investing all his life. People at that age are buying it as a legacy and they're putting their kids on the title, on the deed. They're doing it for the family. Younger people are doing it for the cash flow. They want to retire to Panama or somewhere offshore. They want a stable, commodity driven, specialty market niche called coffee that can generate income for them. So it's available for everybody.
Well, and if you do any study of all of the industry, we're not consuming less coffee in the world. We're consuming more coffee. And not only that, the specialty side of it, people are paying a premium for it, not only for the cup of coffee you get at your favorite barista, but also in terms of the bags of coffee that you buy. And you see all these single origin beans and the different roasters and all that. So it seems like you guys have also kind of hit the industry at the right time.
Yes, we started 4 years ago. And if you take the numbers and you take the growth rate, 20% a year, you're going to see a doubling in the rule of 72 pretty well every 3 or 4 years. So arguably the market's doubled since we started. It's the right time and the right place for specialty coffee. It is a booming industry. And coffee itself is becoming a product that people really want to have, you know, when they're coming out of a developing country. China, India, for example, places with billions of people, coffee has now become a status symbol. If you're seen sitting drinking a cup of coffee in one of these countries, you're the cat's meow. You know, you're upscale. So people are doing that. Although in China, they think good coffee is a instant coffee with sugar and cream mixed in the same package to which you add water. So there's a ways to go in the specialty coffee business. But the good news is that there's a huge upside. It's just never going to stop. There's 3 Starbucks at every corner, and there's a lineup around every one of them. Something's going on.
I saw a great cartoon. It had Starbucks on a corner, Starbucks on a corner, Starbucks on a corner. On the fourth corner, it said, coming soon, Starbucks. Yeah, exactly. Well, and let's talk about this for a minute, because as this increases and you have more and more farms, you've got somewhere there's a logistical chain. That coffee ends up somewhere. So what part of the process are you involved from planting the tree to the time I grab a cup of coffee from the counter? How much of that is your involvement?
International coffee farms and the owners of the coffee farm parcels are involved from the time we plant the seed or grow the tree to picking the cherry to processing the cherry to producing the green bean. and the green bean is stored in our new processing facility. Then it is prepared for export and sold to roasters and other people who want to buy a green bean and transform it from that point to the finished product through their roasting facility or any other clients. So they're the ones that take the green bean, roast it, add water, and sell it retail. We in International Coffee Farms don't do that.
Right.
We do it right to the green bean so that we have a marketplace that's worldwide as opposed to limited by people who might have a retail orientation. So the roaster is the key market for these green coffee beans because he will have 15 or 20 or 30 or 50 clients in his town or area, his market area, and then he can roast the coffee to the profile for the hospital and for the six restaurants and the, you know, all the other clients he has there. So that's the business that ICFC or International Coffee Farms is in.
Now, is there a cycle? Is it just a matter of picking beans year round, or is there a season? How often is the harvest, and how often do you pay?
We pay annually as a result of an annual harvest.
Okay.
So harvest happens depending on altitude. So we have a number of farms at a lower high altitude, and we have, which is where specialty coffee is grown, and we have a number of farms that are at a higher high altitude. The low altitude farms come into their own right now. We start picking cherries again this season in 2 or 3 weeks. And we'll continue with those lower altitude farms until December-ish, and they'll be done. The higher altitude farms start to come in late November, early December, and we pick them through January, February, March, and into April. So we as a business are busy 6 months, 7 months of the year harvesting and processing. Once we've harvested the coffee and separated the varietals, washed the coffee, dried the coffee, made our specialty micro lots, which is how we do business. We want to produce a varietal of coffee that's in high demand in specialty coffee, processed a certain way in small lots so that there's a bidding war that goes on against the 4,000 pounds of this kind of coffee we might have this year.
Right.
And we can maximize pricing that way for our owners and ourselves. That's how we do it. So come the end of the harvest, April, May, we need to rest all that coffee. It sits in its processed bag in our almost hermetically sealed storage facility, very tightly climate controlled storage facility, and it develops its own profile while it's resting. Little known fact that the bean is still alive when it's in that bag.
Wow.
As it processes itself and as it rests, it develops a profile. And that profile is specific and individual to different varietals of coffee. So once we've done all that, then we can fill orders or bring buyers to our laboratory, test and prove our coffee, and sell our coffee. Once we've sold the coffee, balanced the books, and done everything for each farm, then we can distribute the check. So this year, we're in that process right now. The selling is done. The accounting is just about done in September. Owners will receive a check.
All right. Well, this is fascinating stuff. Love the fact that it's non-leveraged, it's offshore, it's agriculture, it's a hard asset, and starting at under $20,000. So for the modest investment, or, you know, you could buy a bigger parcel, I'm imagining. And what's your typical person? Is it a one-lot deal? What's your typical investor typically look at?
We have an average, if you take all of the owners over the group, and the average is around 2.6 parcels.
Okay.
So $18,000, we're talking, you know, $40,000 to $50,000 where the average person comes in. There's people that come in, and I've met people at the syndication seminar here who've come and kicked the trees, as we call it. And that one individual, he owns 18 parcels.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people that own one. And you come in at $18,000. It's a good place to start. It's your first offshore investment. It might be your first ag investment. It's something different. You can come down and kick the trees after the fact. And if you like what you see, you can add to it. It's one parcel at a time.
All right. Well, good stuff. Well, as always, great talking to you. Really excited about your success. You guys continue to do really well on this, and we'll keep in touch about how that continues. If you're interested, here's what you do. Send an email to coffee@realestateguysradio.com. David's got some great materials. Goes over the things he's been talking about in case you're driving or you're busy, but you want to find out more about it. Just coffee@realestateguysradio.com. Will we see you on the Investor Summit next year?
You certainly will.
All right. We're looking forward to that. That's going to be our 15th annual event. And David's been on it a few times and hangs out with us at the places like the syndication events and where we can get together, we do. Thanks, my friend, for your time today.
Thank you very much. I enjoy it every time.
You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys Radio Network. More when we return. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Memphis is famous for being the home of the king of rock and roll, but it's also the king of cash flow. If you're looking for affordable cash flow properties, it's hard to beat Memphis. Get your portfolio rocking and more cash flowing your way by calling Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers. Terry's the king of turnkey properties. Contact Terry through the resource section at realestateguysradio.com. And be sure to order Terry's Tips for Turnkey Rental Property Investing Report. It's free. Just send your request to turnkey at realestateguysradio.com.
If you want to retire in the next 5 years or less through real estate, then please pay close attention. My name is Brad Sumrock, and I've taught thousands of my students how to replace their incomes, quit their jobs, and retire faster than they ever thought possible by not investing in single-family homes. You see, there's a secret to retiring fast with little risk, and it has nothing to do with being a landlord, fixing toilets, or flipping houses. The secret is multifamily apartment buildings. Starting from scratch with zero experience, I managed to pocket over $1 million in cash and retire from my 17-year corporate job within 3 years of apartment investing. Now, this is not your typical no-money-down real estate training. We believe in smart, hard work for intelligent people. So if you're good with your finances, have a decent job, or saving your money, and you're looking for a change and getting out of the rat race, then investing in apartment buildings might just be the answer you've been looking for. Send an email right now to Sumrock at realestateguysradio.com to get the details of my upcoming training event, and you'll also receive my free training webinar, Apartment Investing for Beginners. That's Sumrock, S-U-M-R-O-K, at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hans. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys. If you want to expand your consciousness, expand your wealth, expand your future, and have more delight and excite in your future than in your past, keep listening to The Real Estate Guys.
And welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every weekend on this great radio station all the time at realestateguysradio.com. It's always fun to hang out at the airport, and it's always fun to listen to David.
It is. You know, David's got such a great background, you know, international guy and a guy that has invested and worked in a lot of different areas and industries, and he's found this niche. And I always appreciate when an entrepreneur finds a niche and finds a way to develop it. And one of the things that I love best about that particular model is the value add, the idea that you go in and you buy these underperforming farms with these unsophisticated farmers working on them, and they're really not even yielding or experiencing the full benefit of the asset that they have available to them. They don't have the capital. They don't have the technology. And to be able to go in there and help them build a better life at the same time you're creating a better product, and then switching from a commodity type of coffee to a specialty coffee, I mean, that's huge. Look at what Starbucks has done with coffee. I used to work in a donut shop way back in the day. We sold a cup of coffee for a nickel, for 10 cents, whatever it was. It was cheap, right? It was just something you gave people. It wasn't that big of a deal. Starbucks created a whole experience around coffee, and people pay a huge premium. Is their coffee better? Well, you can make the argument it's better than the coffee you get at the local, you know, diner or donut shop. David would make the argument it's nothing compared to specialty coffee. But there are people who really are connoisseurs and enjoy quality coffee, and they pay a premium to have that kind of coffee. And the great news is now you're no longer a commodity. You're not competing on a commodity basis, but you're competing on a value basis. And so that's a real unique nuance.
Well, I think also the fact that you can invest at such a low amount, put your toe in the water, and instantly become an international investor. Right? We talked a lot at the syndication event about your credibility and what you call building your brand and building your network. And when you're starting out, you've only ever invested in single family houses in one area. That's kind of a limited resume. The minute you get an acre of farmland in Panama, whatever the crop is, now you're an international investor and an agricultural investor.
Well, I think the other thing about that, too, isn't just how it impresses other people. It changes your psychology.
That's the point I'm talking about.
Yeah, there is a psychological hurdle you have to get over to invest across state lines, to invest out of country, to invest in a kind of esoteric product type. You know, this type of investment gives you a chance to cross a lot of those mental hurdles all at once at a pretty low risk barrier. I mean, at the end of the day, if it all goes sideways, it's no worse than a year at college, and you probably learn stuff that's more valuable. We capped on college a little bit in the syndication seminar, just in terms of teaching people, you know, kind of what works in the real world. But the idea that you can buy, you know, park some wealth in an international piece of property and pick up some asset protection, some privacy benefits, have the ability to generate income offshore, you know, like some of these big corporations do, you get to have all of those experiences, plus the agricultural side, plus the coffee or commodity side. You've got a lot of different components that you all add to your experience resume that is both impressive to other people, but also, as I said, the opportunity to kind of get over a lot of mental hurdles yourself.
Absolutely. I know there's a lot of information in an interview. And again, Dave has got some great information he'll send out if you just send an email to coffee@realestateguysradio.com. But certainly coffee is not the only asset out there. And it's certainly not the only commodity or even agricultural play coming up at the summit. We're going to talk more agricultural real estate this year. Last year, we had a really interesting conversation about that and just understanding the metrics and the sophistication of the folks who deal in farmland, because it's different than real estate. The soil and the geology and the climate. And as David talked about with coffee, the altitude, there's so many things that factor in. You don't have to become an expert in that if you decide to go this kind of a route. Now, let's say you decided you wanted to be David, you want to go buy your own underperforming coffee farm. Well, now there's a learning curve there that goes away when you use any kind of a turnkey operation. So that's just a personal choice as a real estate investor. How much do I want to get involved? How much do I want to roll up my sleeves? How much do I want to rely on the efforts of others?
Yeah. You know, one thing I think that's important to think about right now is, as longtime listeners know, we've been paying attention to China. And China is a country that has a growing population, and they have a growing population that is growing in wealth and affluence, and that impact is being felt around the world, just the way the United States had an impact around the world as it was growing into a dominant economy. And one of the things that the Chinese are doing is a command and control economy, as opposed to just kind of free enterprise, right? They're able to make more strategic decisions and operate kind of in unison with the country behind them. I'm not saying it's good, but it is what it is. And what those central planners are doing out of China is they're strategically going around the world and they're buying up real assets. They're buying up farmland. They're buying up commodity mines. They're buying up oil and storing it. They're buying things that are real wealth. And we've talked about this in our real asset investing report. And this is going to continue to be a theme as you watch what's rolling out with central bank policy, negative interest rates, and all these things that are going on in the paper asset world. You're going to see more and more people begin to flee from those markets into things that are real. You're seeing it happen at the sovereign level. We reported at the syndication seminar just a recent piece of news that record inflows have come into real estate related funds, over $3 billion in just 1 week. And that money's coming out of stock and bond funds. And so now it's beginning to happen at the institutional investor level. And it's sooner or later, it's going to trickle down to the mom and pop level. The big question for you to ask yourself as an investor, do you want to get in front of the wave? Or do you want to chase it? And we've been talking about this stuff for a while, and you're definitely not behind the curve. You're still ahead of the curve, but it's clear through people who have a lot of research capability and a lot of money under management, they are making these moves. And the idea that you can mirror some of that stuff on a much smaller scale, I think, is a very, very cool thing.
So whether you're interested in coffee or agriculture or not, hopefully you got at least some ideas and maybe expanded your brain a little bit. That's our job here at the Real Estate Guys. Next week on the show, we're going to talk about protecting the assets that you acquire. Once you get real estate, once you have a portfolio, once you're involved, how do you make sure that stuff is safe and secure? There's lots of ways to do it. You're going to enjoy next week's show. Until then, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life. Powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.